Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Welcome back to Space Trash Podcast. This is the Trashler Nation wing of the pod. I am Sarah Armour. I'm here with Casey Bunker. We are just two working girls. Just stop, dropping, and rolling into lunch to talk about The Batch. How you doing, Case?
I'm great. No better way to spend a lunch hour, honestly.
First things first at the Trash Cast. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Shanae did go home.
Thank God. I didn't think she was gonna, though. I really didn't. And I've noticed now that I'm watching, it was because of the trailers. And like, as I suspected, they showed three different girls crying in the quote-unquote finale. It makes it seem like that, but that's not really... You know, they're not actually saying that. It keeps seeming like there's three different girls in that last finale. God, they know what they're doing, these people. So Shanae did go home, thank God. Because
one of the things that I'm noticing is that like this show and the analysis of the show is not, it's not about the contestants. This is a show where we are watching producers produce.
Yeah, like completely. And it was so evident of that fact when Clayton, I mean, I'm just going to do that forever. Clayton came out and sat down next to Genevieve at the 2-on-1 and was like, so tell me, did you lie to me? Are you an actor? I'm like,
that was the exact same point that I was like, okay, we have missed chunks and chunks and chunks of conversation.
Yeah. And that just seemed really like soap opera. It felt very produced in that moment. The way that he did that just felt more produced than usual. Like it felt very fake.
Well, it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, Katie Thurston accusing Greg Grippo, like, you know, sort of model pretty Greg Grippo, who has been like her knight in shining armor the entire season. Like, I understand her feeling so betrayed and then seeing that he had the acting reel up or something where she was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Genevieve, not only is she getting zero attention, I mean, I guess I'll say this. If she is, in fact, an actor, and she's been playing the part of someone in the background, extra, extra, Genevieve, you're hired, stand in the back of everything. How could she, what an insulting thing to say. I mean, Shanae.
Yeah.
I guess, so what happened? So Shanae spread the rumor that you know, what is it, like paint drying Genevieve. Couple of concerns, little cracks in the finish, but for the most part, not a part of the conversation. She tells Clayton on their two-on-one that Genevieve was an actor.
Yeah.
And lying to him about not being an actor?
But I don't know. You can just see her like making it up as she goes along. And I think this may have been the moment that Clayton started to realize like, I sent home the last person she didn't like. Now I can watch her making up lies about someone in front of my face, though he still seemed to believe it, either that or he just wanted to get one last good smooch in.
Yeah, I guess. Like,
why not?
I think that like Clayton likes Shanae. Like at the end of the day, if he liked Elizabeth more, he could have kept her. And at the end of the day, this was way too close. Like Genevieve should not feel good about this. Like they're all like, woohoo, woohoo.
No.
She went in there and was just good. She was just acceptable enough. But he like had a really hard time and not from a production standpoint, from a he seems sincere in that like he genuinely like had a hard time deciding, felt like he should let go of Shanae because when he said to Genevieve, are you an actor? Her face. Now it's again, if she's an actor and that was her response, her responding in the moment to the question, am I an actor? And in fact, she is, then she is incredible.
Well, I don't know, because I was thinking that. I was like, how do you respond to someone to asking if you're a liar when you're not a liar, but you need to make sure that it seems like you're not a liar as you respond. Like, it's like kind of like when the cops like pull you over and you weren't doing anything wrong, but you're still like, how do I make sure that it seems like I wasn't doing anything wrong, even though you weren't doing anything wrong, but like, but then because you're trying to act like it's always the cover up and not the crime, you know?
100% right. It's like every time I'm like driving in the car and I'm a little bit stoned and I hear a rap song and there's like a siren, I'm like,
it's over.
I didn't do it. But then I have to turn down the song and go, is it me? Are they chasing me? And then it's like, oh, no, you're just paranoid. Relax. No, but I agree with you, right? Where it's like the cover up, if in fact, but see, okay, this is where I got confused though, because so I did see some headlines where it was like, Genevieve may not be up to, like, Genevieve may not be who we think she is, which maybe really just a promo to like promote the next episode. And it was Shanae's little rumor, which is so possible. But the impression that I was under is that we missed a whole chunk of conversation. What do they say Genevieve's job is? Just a girl in the world or something?
Oh, I don't know.
They're like sort of, you know, they're sort of downgrading some of these titles.
Yeah.
One of them was just engaged previously, like LOL. and for the record, I did do some research, and I do believe she does sell robotic feet, so I think I'm right. But anyway, that was from the very beginning, Sally. But so, Genevieve, we don't even know what her job is. I was under the impression that the rumor was, I thought that it was like, she is an actual actor, and there was a conversation that we missed, and you're lying about that. Do you think it sounds like you were not under the impression that she was actually trying to act I guess she had like a few too many Instagram followers just to be a normie, was the rumor I read.
Oh, okay. Potentially. I mean, it says here that she's a bartender, but I mean, so are many wannabe actors. So
certainly, yeah, a lot of comics. I mean, right. Yeah.
Services, yeah, like so she's not
a certain type of creative.
Yeah, like you don't become a doctor and then want to be an actor, you know? So right. It's right. Not a vote against her being a potential actor, but I don't, right. But it
it's
also
perfect
just
day job if she was an actor, and what's an even better day job, The Bachelor. So like, but again, if that's the case, how could she have made such little an impact?
I know.
Exactly. I guess her role was as extra.
And really how this ended just is sad for her, because he set it up like it became all about Shanae, where like, yes, Genevieve gets to stay another week, but now she needs to do major recon. Like the way that he gave the rose out, he first like called her an actor, and like that was a very accusatory way he went about it. She defended herself. Then he goes, okay, so now I'm going to give the rose to the person who like illuminated the truth the most for me. Then he goes, Shanae, unfortunately, I can't give you this rose, which is not how they ever give the rose out. Like you focus it on the person who's staying there. But I feel like I think
it was an up to the minute moment. I think that we were watching his wheels turn.
Watching what?
I think it was like an up to the minute decision. Like I think even yes. As he was saying Shanae, he did not know who he was going to pick. But then when he heard the sentence come out of his mouth and he's like, okay, fuck, I went with illuminating the truth, which even if you low-key would just prefer to keep hooking up with this chick until you find which one of the three girls that you're in love with is your wife, then like he just doesn't want to make out with Elizabeth. He doesn't want to make out with Genevieve. He wants to make out with Shanae. She's
like
a
dramatic,
kissable lipped hot. I mean, she's beautiful.
I'm going with the hotter girl.
Right. Like just for now, none of you are my wife. Yeah, neither of you are my wife. So it's like, yeah, that's, but I really think that when he heard the sentence, like you helped me illuminate the truth, he did remember that there were TV cameras around him. He went, what has, I mean, I understand that it is a whirlwind. His brain is in a blender, but like, no, right. If you have been present for any part of what seems like the last maybe like week, I mean, it's also, I have no idea, a few weeks, we have seen Shanae be the center of a lot of confusion. So there's no way that he could continue that sentence if it was like, look, you illuminated for me that Genevieve is an actor. Like if they left accusing her of acting.
Yeah.
For real, it would have been, yeah, he was like, thank God for him that he didn't. But no, he was not sure.
Oh my gosh. So like, and then he and Genevieve walk away and they're holding hands, but it's just like, there ain't nothing there. Like you almost just let this, you accused her of being an actor. You almost just let this girl go. Like she ain't the one unless they, I mean, to me now he needs to make up to her for that. But yet this is still a competition vying for his love. So I just don't know how this is going to work for them.
Well, it's like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, read the episode, but this is sort of a condensed just lunch break. We can just skip around like girlfriends. I don't know who's listening to this that doesn't watch the fucking show. But, you know, it's like, I think he's showing us, like, even with Mara, it's like at the end of the day, there's clearly women he likes. I mean, one of the things that I was actually thinking while I was watching was like, do you remember when we were growing up? Remember that show that was like, oh, I couldn't eliminate, where it was like a Lyft driver picks a guy up in his house, and then he picks up like two or three women, and then like there was like a few different versions of
Next?
The show. What
was it? Next? Were they
Next
like in a big band?
Right, Next was the MTV version. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So same concept, right? So I like all I could think while I was watching this show is like, should we bring back that dating show format? Yeah. Like, I feel like I could even facilitate that on my own, but it's like boil it down. Like, this is only about Clayton and a very few amount of, even like now, like there are women coming out of the woodwork that we still have not seen. Alicia, was that her name? Gorgeous.
Eliza. Yeah, I know.
Eliza. Yeah. Oh my God. She is so beautiful. It's like, and yeah, I just feel like this show, it's for the advertisers, I guess. Like for this to be.
Yeah, like we had so much Shanae drama that we've missed out on Eliza's magnificence.
Right. Although I have to say, I think as predicted on the last episode, the minute that she left the building, Shanae Shrimpnay has gone to the cocktail sauce in the sky.
And the girls are going, ding dong, the shrimp is dead.
Ding dong, the shrimp is dead. But I got to tell you, similar to the Donald, immediately missed her.
Right.
That's the only time that we realized, wow, we don't know who any of these people are, and we don't care. And he obviously has some real deal love stories going on behind the scenes. We haven't seen any of them. It's like,
it all does seem kind of like surface level relationships in a way too, where I don't feel like, you know, with Katie Thurston and Greg, like they had both lost their father. They had some real deal deep conversations, like, and he's having conversations, but like, how deep have they really gotten? Like, kind of not that deep. And he's got that Leo Chiron. Like, I think he doesn't really want to go that deep.
I think like the issue with Clayton is like, we're basically just like watching his biggest fears play out. Also his healing play out, because he is going to,
yeah.
He didn't find one love. He found three loves.
Shit. Healing,
the most love. Leo, Moon, Chiron. He's the living healer, right?
He overshot it. You know, like the antidote was like, worse, like bigger than the medicine.
Right. No, he literally overshot his love load.
Yeah.
And now he's pie in the face because what's the saying? It's like poo-poo on you. That's not it. It's like,
I don't know.
Skid marks on your face. I don't know. But
I like that.
You always get my humor, Case. It's so great.
Always.
It's so great to to philosophize with you over lunch is truly such a gift.
Anyway, it's such a dream. Thank God I'm still working from home.
It's so wonderful. But no, but really though, it's like that's what I think we realized, that like at the end of the day, he is safeguarding himself 24/7 around not getting played out on the show. And then like first three roses were take backsies or hard nose from me dog. And now we're like, what are we, episode 6? And there are three girls he's in love with and six that we've never seen before. And one girl who's been wreaking havoc on the, cocktail hour, literally, or what is
every
it called?
Time.
On the appetizers, wreaking havoc on the appetizers.
Right.
Time.
And now that Shrimpnay is gone, Mara is coming.
The only it's just sauce stepping, left.
Stepping up. Yeah.
The next, yeah, right. We went from shrimp
tomato
to
sauce.
Marinara sauce. Devastating. The food girls are getting airtime, but I don't think they're winning this thing.
It's the big tomato. Big tomato is behind this for sure.
Honestly, if we know anything about Clayton, which is really, we only know a few things because this has otherwise only been about Shanae. We know that he has like body dysmorphia and he has food issues. So anybody who's talking about shrimp or marinara too much got to go. He doesn't want to be focusing on
the act.
Like
that. No doubt. Okay, so let's go. So now we finally leave the North America, because we were technically international in Toronto. We're going to Hvar, Croatia. Sorry if that's how you say that. I have no idea.
Okay, so this is the point though. Next time, just a note, again, production note. Now we're doing production notes. Just say Croatia.
Yes. But
he's even watching him. We're going to long pause, a little bit too long. Avar, and then they show it. It's spelled like HVAC, pronounced like Havarti. You know, it's just like we've never heard of it. Just say Croatia.
Right, but I'm sure they got a little. They got a little Dielski going with the Hvar.
Oh, right. So there's like a tourism.
Council of Tourism. Yeah.
Oh, right. And here we are. And now we've said it 10 times and we've made a joke. Hvac is back, baby.
And now we know. And I do want to go there now. So it's effective. It's effective marketing. And that's why this show is so much better when they're traveling abroad. Because also, like, you see all the girls, like, standing there. Like, they're kind of enjoying the country together. He just walks up. Like, it's not like a stupid date card. It's like, right. Oh, hey, here I am. I'm going to take one of you on a date right now. And it's like, it becomes a little more romantic. It becomes a little more impromptu and a little like, oh, we fell in love in Croatia. Like, that was our great. And that's why I'm so glad our girl Teddy got the one-on-one, because you got to save those foreign one-on-ones for someone good. Like, that's.
Wow. You've been like prepping me for this moment, and like I didn't understand quite right. Cause now I, right. Okay. So if there is an advertising deal with Hvac, what's it called?
Hvar. I don't know.
Hvar.
Hvar.
Yeah. Hvac, Havarti, Handyman, Croatia has a tourism deal with the Batch Pod, with the Batch Squad, Bachelor Nation. They're bringing the nation to Croatia. But what you said when we first started this, you're like, it's so much better when they travel because aside from it actually becoming more romantic and more interesting, it is actually a travel show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where now I'm not angry anymore about seeing all those 1,000-pound sister commercials and, you know, just, I mean, because some of the commercials during this show are.
I know you get different commercials than I do. I don't get that, but I kind of like 600-pound life, so I could dig those sisters.
Oh my god, it like it stresses me out. Like
I don't get them.
I guess like maybe just because they know that Clayton is going to be drawing sort of like a sort of food, an anti-food crowd. You know,
like come for the shrimp, you stay for the 1,000-pound sisters.
Exactly. If I had a nickel for every time I said that or had that thought. But anyway, yeah, it's like
anyway, now Croatia.
Seeing Croatia, like, yeah, it worked. I am here Googling, is Croatia cheaper to travel to than the Maldives? Than the Maldives? How do you pronounce the Maldives?
Yeah, Maldives.
Maldives? Yeah, is Croatia cheaper than the Maldives? Is it cheaper than Spain? Is it cheaper than Italy? Like, okay, so they did it. We're going to Croatia. I'm into Croatia. But yeah, just in terms of delivery, they could have practiced the name of the city with him a couple times.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all a journey. It's all part of the journey, you know? So Teddy, let's go back. So what did they do on their little date? Just wandered around, go to the market, that kind of thing.
They walked in the rain. I feel like it was the kind of thing where they were giving off the vibe. I don't know if anyone said it or if it was just in my mind or it's just all the musical theater I've got rolling around in this noggin of mine, but it's like walking in the rain. Like it's very, that's from Beautiful, the musical written by Carole King.
And that's what's nice too, like when they're traveling is they don't have to make up these stupid scavenger hunts and shit in the hotel. It's like, right. Just go enjoy the city and like the stuff writes itself. It's like a natural date when you're just exploring a new place.
And it's like, we don't need to see another Not Hanson sing to us. Like, I don't need another Not Taylor Swift. I don't need another Not Hanson. The C-list up-and-coming country music acts can just lay low for a minute. We're in Croatia, and we are walking in the rain and making that the shtick, and I'm loving it. And I do think they were kind of trying to go for the vibe of, right, walking in the rain. And, like, if you can walk in the rain with somebody, you can do anything with them. The whole time, she's gearing up. Now, for some reason, we knew that she was a virgin. I guess she hadn't told him. So that was the whole thing. The big reveal is I haven't been saving myself for marriage, but I have been saving myself for a boyfriend or something. I don't know. I mean,
I can't
even imagine that. For love. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's a slippery slope. If it's not for marriage, like, you can convince yourself in any moment that you're in love with some guy and do it.
I literally was like counting down the clock until it was an appropriate time for me to start having sex. And I got a boyfriend immediately when I was like, whatever the lady version of balls dropped is. Like, I was like, I'm in love. Like, I was so ready to go. Like, wanted, you know, I just can't even imagine being like, no, I'm saving it for love. It's like, how would you ever know? You want to know something? I've fallen in and out of love a couple times in the bedroom.
Yeah, like, I can see, like, marriage, at least the guy's stuck with you forever.
Yeah,
but like, if you're just waiting
what you're
for
getting
love
into, if you're with somebody who like just doesn't eat pussy or like who actually is just
right,
gonna, like,
but she, and you didn't
you and
know
and dump and it's like, you don't know, he's a fucking college athlete, he could be horrible in bed.
But she also kind of alluded that she said she's a sexual person, so I guess she's doing other things, which even begs the question more than what the hell's the point. But anyway, so she,
we're gonna do some research. If anybody out here knows Teddy, has she sucked your dick?
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know. It sounds like she has a review of the job.
But yeah, so she kind of, that was her, like, you know, they always give a sob story or whatever on the date. She's saying, I've never been in love. I want to fall in love with you. I feel safe with you. And I'm going to like allow yourself to fall. I'm going to allow myself to fall.
She's like, and, I'm ready. Well, I guess but I guess what she was trying to say is, if you keep me here until fantasy suites.
Oh,
I felt like that was the whole point.
You read between the lines on that one.
Because why would she say, like, if not, she, I don't know. Again, we're not seeing 95% of this show. So I just want to say, everybody watching, like, we genuinely have no idea. And I want to say to the Bachelor production team, we are available for consulting. Because we just think you need just some help, like maybe with some of your blind spots, you know? But it's just, right, like.
Or even just like, if you hear me say the words, I love you, if it gets to that point, then I'm down. I'm ready to throw down. Like
that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like she was sort of like, it seemed like she was saying, and I feel like, again, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but like we've all done this where it's like, well, it is a little bit manipulative where it's like, well, I wouldn't do this, but I would if this.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. If I make it to fantasy suites in 3 weeks and I say the L word, then I'm down. Or was she just saying that to get him there to find out? Or was she just going, I'm open to seeing where it goes, but low key, there's no way in 3 weeks I'm going to be ready, especially if the other chick's here. I mean, I just have to assume that there are conversation pieces that we just.
Or is she trying to say, like, I will, you know, give you a beach and then we'll see how the rest of the night goes. Like she's like, it's not going to be a zero sum game. You know, something's going to happen here.
Right.
I will say she also, I'm looking back at.
Sorry, what did you say? Say it again.
Looking back at her chart before, she is a Cancer moon. So, you know, you can get a little emotional withholding, manipulative.
Well, and you just read my mind because she's a North Node conjunct her sun in Libra.
Oh, North Node conjunct. Okay, what does that mean when the North Node is conjunct your sun?
What a great question, Casey. So anytime that you have the North or the South Node in a very close or in a close conjunction to one of your planets or major celestial bodies in your chart, with the North Node, it means that there's so that's her radiant energy, that's her ego, that's her kind of I am presence, right? Her soul presence, what you see in Libra. So she's actually here, and her solar energy, the more that she shines her light, which as we know as a Cancer moon is not that easy for her. She's actually a south, that means, you know, opposite. She's a south node in Aries. So what she's used to doing is going at it alone, just using her hand, right? She's not actually looking for, but her north node somehow had her go on The Bachelor. And the more that she shines the light of saying, I want marriage, I want relationship, Libra, she starts to move towards living her purpose, which is, in fact, to have partnered sex.
Okay. Yes.
I mean that's a you know, very specific to this incident, you know, or this case, you know, in your chart, if you have your North Node conjunct any of your planets, it may not lead you to reality TV, you know, not slut shame or whatever, but
we hope that it does lead you to reality TV.
Check it out with us first. You can get a reading using code Casey 50% off.
That's right.
If you're just a fucking pent up slut who wants to know how to get her rocks off on TV. Yeah, but it's like the sun in Libra in general wants to say the thing and do the thing that's going to make you feel like, yeah, I'm down. You know, you pick the restaurant. You tell me when to fuck in the fantasy suites if I'm in love, right? Is this love? You tell me if you love. Then she'll also have the opportunity to, you know, especially because she's far from her Saturn return, where she could also have the experience where she then goes the other way with it, which is like, you said you loved me. Like, I'm putting the ball in your court, and I'm just going to be so easy peasy. I'm just going to do my North Node work to connect on a broad scale. If not Clayton, somebody's going to fuck me soon. But really, she now can also, with that square moon, Cancer square moon, can blame him and can.
Oh.
And she can say, I told you all of this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised now if Teddy was one of the final three just because of how guilty he is when he's like, I need to be honest.
Yeah. And That's so true. Because that's what I was just thinking. Like, in a way, it's like, okay, she's obviously waiting for love to have sex, whatever, set yourself up for the best possible scenario. But then you do it with a guy who's also going to go probably have sex with two other girls. Like, you actually set yourself up for the worst scenario in this situation. Like, by waiting, like, you actually, like, no, that should not be your first time. Like, you just can't trust this guy. Like, all of these women think he's going to choose them. Like, unfortunately.
Not to mention the fucking, I mean, look, we saw Michelle's fucking food fight, right? Like, if you have never had sex before, you certainly don't want any cameras in there. Like, I guess maybe that is how you know she truly is a virgin, though, because she doesn't even know what she doesn't know.
Right. Exactly.
Wait till you stick it in your ass and there's shit on it. Or, like, wait till you really... No, it's the first time you have sex. Ladies, if you have not had sex and you're listening... If you have not had sex and you're listening to this podcast, kind of hard to believe in terms of, like, the crowd that we're pulling. But you never know. If you're a young girl, I just want you to know that, like, yeah, save it for someone special. But more importantly, save it for someone who you can laugh about stuff with after. Because it's just... It is anticlimactic the first time you have sex. I remember the first time I had sex, and we'd been dry humping for months. I was just waiting until I heard it was 15, and it was, like, not weird anymore. 15 is like a sex age, and we'd been together for years. You know, I do long term, and I remember he put his dick in me, and I was like, "That's it." And I remember laughing, being like, "I'm not a virgin anymore."
Did you say that?
And he was like, "Yo, shut the fuck up!" Like, just like, 4 seconds later, or whatever. But that's the thing. It's like, I remember the first, and I remember being like, I'm like being confused. Like, should I tell everybody like I had sex, or should I be like, I don't want to mention this because, like, what if they ask any more questions and I say, "Oh, it was literally nothing."
Right. You're like, I did it, but I'm not an expert by any means at this point. I'm actually more confused than I was before.
Right. I was like, is that all it is?
Yeah. It's so true. Well, I mean, hopefully it wouldn't be like that for Teddy, because I think that Clayton has some experience, and I'm thinking you were probably with someone who was also...
Right, yeah, he was a peer. He was his first time too. So
that's cute.
Yeah, and he's still a friend, and we we have very nice memories of the journey of growing older together over many moons of evolving. You know, I don't let go easy. So at 10 years, every guy gets like a 7 to 10 year kind of window with me. And so it was nice to see him evolve through his journey of having sex more than once. But I think Teddy will be very upset if Clayton puts his dick in her and somebody else. So I do hope that she gets cut before the big reveal of I had sex with all of you for her own sake.
Yeah, certainly. And I don't know, how do you think that this went for the two of them overall? Like, I just don't think they still have that, like, fire spark that they had the first time. Like, I just feel like it's more of a fizzle than a growing thing. Whereas with, you know, Rachel, it's getting better and better every time, it seems like.
Well, we're not even seeing. I mean, it seems like the way that they're doing now, it's like Rachel's winning. Rachel won. Like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, that's like definitely...
They're like reverse Claire and Dale-ing us. Where they're like, we're not giving any of this up until the end so that people respect them and they have legitimacy. Because Claire and Dale, for a minute, was like, wow, when you know, you know. And then it was like, womp, 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 womp. And she became like the biggest fucking joke, which is like, you didn't even do the journey, dude. You didn't even do the whole journey, right? So it's like, be careful, ego. The hot guy doesn't always win. And that's, I think, what we're seeing with Teddy, too.
Okay, so we move on to our group date, which involves Knights. Nights. Because knights were women in Croatia, apparently, which is super cool.
Maybe that's why, because I'm, you know, my business is shining armor. Armor. Maybe
should
I
go to Croatia.
Wow, maybe this, you know, spirit is fucking guiding me, dude. I think I need to go to HVAC Croatia. It's spiritual. It's not advertising, and it's not the costumes, although love that for me. Give me the filter. I'll stay home. But honestly, those girls, they looked very cool in their faux fur.
Yeah.
I loved the looks. My only real takeaway from the date was that, like, if you don't know, now you know, contestants. You guys need to know that winning, like, the challenges.
Right.
And actually winning the date. You, in fact, if you really go too hard in the challenges, you might as well cancel your motherfucking self. And it's not because the men are insecure.
It's actually a turnoff.
It's like, why do they have them body slam? You, like, you think, Mara, that Clayton's going to be like, she had the best lyric poem while she was on one knee knighting me, and she shoved the shit out of the other women in a psychotic New Jersey way. Like, I don't feel like that's actually her best foot forward. But the producers, they're cooking our brains here, because it's like if you win, then, and it's like, no, the winner is who he likes, and everybody else is just like body slamming each other. That's why, like, Marlena had
embarrassing
no
themselves.
It was like Marlena, don't. I mean, for Marlena, she might have started her stand-up career, so I don't feel bad for her. But Mara, I mean, unless she's going to go become, like, a female gladiator, I don't know what she thought she was doing at that date.
And it just, like, came off, like, very, like, I know I have this in the bag. Like, whereas all the other girls were like, Clayton, here's what I like about you, blah, blah, blah. She just gave, like, a random poem about, like, being a knight and something, and, like, didn't really make eye contact with him. Didn't really, like...
Right, she was, like, too, like, proud of her.
Yeah.
It was almost like, yeah, she was, like, delivering, like, slam poetry poem, like... But again, it sort of had an attitude where it was like, yeah, if you don't pick me, then you're a skeet, like Kanye called Pete. But no, but it was like, that was the vibe. It was like, and there's only one winner, and it's obviously me. Like, that was, I got to remember the
and
line.
It's like,
you know what I mean? It was like a tone of like, if you don't pick me, you're dumb.
Right.
I'm
and then it's like,
me. It's like,
okay. We all just watched you, like, not eat the eyeballs, and we watched Serene eat the eyeballs. So, like, you can make as nice of a poem as you want, but, like, Serene's going to win this shit.
Serene is lucky she's hot, but even that, like, most men don't even want to kiss you after you suck their dick.
Yeah, like, he's not going to marry
you
because
after you have eyeball goo in your... I just don't think... I'm okay with pulling more of a Cassidy there and hanging with Hillary Duff and going, I have standards.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Remember me this way.
Yes, exactly. Or, like, Gabby during the football game when he was like, you have to block, and she was like, but why?
Right, like, I'm down for whatever so long as it's within my... like, boundaries. I mean, if you said to me, eat disgusting shit for no fucking reason on TV, because intuitively, I know that that is not the... I know there's a lot of ways into a man's heart, and eyeballs in your mouth ain't one of them. Not one of
it's them. It's so true. So we'll see. We'll see if either Mara or... It doesn't look like Mara or Serene will probably win the way it's going now. So, I mean, I think that's going to prove your point, but... this is where Mara kind of starts to, I mean, we've seen her, it's been a slow boil with her for the last couple of episodes, starting to, like, lose her shit. And that's fair. Like, if I was her, you can kind of see in this episode how she's kind of like, maybe I should just fucking go home. I'm obviously not going to, like, change destiny at this point. And then I think she talked to some producer who was like, but what if you stepped in as the villain? And then you'd probably have a better chance of showing up on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
I mean, that's I think what that's what happened.
And we're on, like, the one hand, this is the worst show on TV. This is not interesting. On the other hand, when I think of it in terms of, like, oh, this is a corporation, this is no different than The Apprentice. Like, oh, getting on The Bachelor is basically getting an entry-level job in this franchise. And so, right, I think a producer is saying, look, go be as awesome as you can in the date, whether you win... or whether he wins or not, you become more of a prime. Because, look, I think accents go a long way on this Vanilla Ass show. That New Jersey could make her, like, when we see her on Paradise, if we ever do, she'll be like, Nara Nara sauce coming right up. Like, that'll be her housewives tagline. You know what I mean? Like, that is what it is. She is South Jersey. She is Nara Nara. And she will beat you to the death to get a date.
And she looks the part too. Like, she's got a very distinct look. She's got the accent. She's got the attitude and everything. So like, were you able to pull up her chart at all?
I certainly was, Case.
Give us the tea.
Something fascinating happening. So not only is Mara a 29 degree Capricorn sun.
Ooh.
Last Mara. Degree of Capricorn, sort of the retirement degree.
Okay.
Her moon, in case you're going to love this, her moon is at 3 degrees Cancer, exactly conjunct her Chiron.
Ooh.
So we have okay. Chiron moon versus Chiron moon here.
Wow.
Not even verse. I mean, they're not like verse each other, but like they're wounded.
It's like too real.
Different signs, though. Both have like sort of a childhood wounding. They both do have earth signs, but Mara's wounding is more around not feeling nurtured, not feeling safe, not feeling, you know, nourished, not, you know, and so she, and that's, you know, she's doing everything she can to like be that squeaky wheel, get a little grease, and yet she's just a grease monkey from New Jersey, right? Now, his is in Leo, so it's a little bit more about like his heart and sharing his heart and his pride and you know, how he plays with others versus like his inner self, his, you know, moon Chiron in Cancer. It's like she is strong. That's why she's like, I'm taking myself out. I'm just going home. Because aside from the fact that she is so like, no, she's so hurt that he wasn't interested in her. I think she's also probably a little bit grateful because she'd been crying before this whole thing started. But 29 degree Capricorn sun, she would never want anyone to see her actually upset. Cancer moon, she is like on an inner level with her Chiron there. She could be so emotional that actually she's guarded, that she's almost like tuned out to her own inner experience. She has a lot of inner work to do.
Yeah. So she totally steps into Shanae's thing and just like makes up this whole thing that Sarah's not ready. And basically on the basis of, well, she's only 23. And like, this kind of happens on the show frequently too. And it's just like, she goes, well, when I was 23, I wasn't ready to get married. And it's like, well, that's, you're projecting then, because like, you know, she's not 12. Like I got married at 23. Like people get married at 23 and this girl isn't even trying to get married. She's trying to get engaged. These people stay engaged for like 2, 3, 4 years sometimes. Like she does not need to get married this second, but there are actually a lot of people in the world who meet their spouse at the age around 23.
Everybody is so butthurt that they're 30 and not married.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong yeah. with me? Is it wrong to be single in my 30s? Like that's like we grew up thinking that was like completely unreasonable. So right, I think you're nailing it. Let me ask you this. You want to fight for marriage because you're ready with someone that you have never even been on a date with?
Yeah.
I think you're ready. If you're really that ready for marriage, you want to argue that's her big point.
Yeah.
Then really like up for grabs, Mara will marry right. anyone.
Yeah, like just being, there's so many points to this. It's like just being a certain age doesn't actually make you ready for whatever society thinks you're supposed to do at that age.
When did Bethany Frankel get married?
Oh, she was like, I would say like almost 40.
And now?
And now she was married for 2 years and
boom.
Divorcing for 9 years.
Points made. Point is made.
Like it's just, and now she's engaged to a new guy, which is fabulous.
Which is, and it's all just like, I mean, the actual point is that like life's a journey.
Yeah.
And everybody's on the cosmic roadmap they're on. And whether
and it's not supposed to be.
Or 30 marriage. Kim K, she's going to bring marriages back. Marriages.
Yes. It's not supposed to be like this perfect cookie cutter thing. And when Mara goes after Sarah, Mara versus Sarah, it's, you know, it's telling of her own personal views on, you know, what age women should be doing this, that, or the next thing. And it's like, girlfriend, you know, maybe Sarah is ready. She does seem to like Clayton a lot. She really does.
Well, and it's like, if you're 23 on this show and you're like crushing it, you're like, you're getting ahead. That might be the only age actually where I could see this being sincerely invigorating.
Yeah.
It's like she's young enough that she hasn't been completely deluded by the world around her. She's not jaded. She's not cynical. At that point, she's like, oh, shit, I'm now in my 20s and I'm going to meet my husband. And if there was a moment where she behind the scenes said, well, I don't know if I would like get married right away. Isn't that like what you'd hope they're all actually saying? It's like, this right, is like, again, exactly. Again, we're back at Justice for Thomas. The person that's actually just saying the thing, which is like, well, yeah, like a hypothetical engagement, right? We'll keep the ring for 2 years and at least cash out. I mean,
yeah.
How could they literally be like, and then we got married on the 10th week. It's like, if you're ready to get married on the 10th week, you're not ready for marriage. What's the
right.
rush?
And it's like, and why are you assuming that Clayton like definitely 100% wants exactly what the show is going to end him up with? Like, right. You know, why would every single lead always want to meet someone and get married like very soon thereafter? It's just like, yeah, he has to say that, he has to go along with it. And I think he does want to meet someone, but you know, I think Mara in that moment really made herself not look good to him. Cause he was like, first of all, I don't like you in the first place.
Right. He's second like, what's your name again? Oh yeah.
Second of all, now you're
avoid tomato paste.
Yeah, now he's going to avoid tomato paste all the time.
He's obsessed with it anyway. He doesn't want more Mara or anything.
But yeah, so she was kind of saying to him, like, listen, this is the truth. She's not ready, blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't think he really took it well or really like believed it or anything. And then, you know, Sarah really got upset when he called her out on it. And I think it was a growing moment for them. Like, I think that was a good moment for their relationship. So for him and Sarah. So I think Mara really played herself on this one, but she may have solidified a place on the beach.
Now, real quick, though, because I do want to finish up with Susie at the end there. But before then, because I do have Sarah's chart up, can you remind me? Because the one thing about Sarah, because I'm remembering back, I mean, it was so long ago last night. But because, right, what was it? So he basically said to her, there are girls in the house that have been saying that you're too young to get married, or that you've said that you're too young to get married. And then it just seemed like she burst into tears.
Yes.
Do we think we're missing chunks, or what do you think that, like, I mean, I was surprised at how emotional. Maybe it's just because they're all hungover and haven't slept. I mean, I was surprised at the emotionality of the claim.
I think the entire like process is pretty grueling, because you're just like, you have this limited amount of time to spend with him. The rest of the time you're hanging out with these girls, but like, I don't think they really have like a lot of access to TV or phones or anything like that. So like, you run out of shit to talk about, and then you see him again, you got to try and make, like, I think the whole thing gets like really starts to wear on you after a while. You know, like first world problems. It's not an actual real situation, but I can see how it would make you like emotional if you're falling for this guy or whatever. But I also think part of this was his presentation of the issue, similar to earlier with Genevieve.
Like, right. He's bad in a game of telephone.
I think it happens to a lot of the leads too, where they're so afraid that someone is there for the wrong reasons that they will believe anything. If you throw that at them, they'll be like, oh my God, I knew it. I knew it. Like, and it's just like, stop. Think about who you're talking to, Mara, who you don't really have a connection with, and she's going to like throw something about Sarah, who you have a great connection with. Stop right there and think, I probably trust Sarah more in this situation.
You're literally doing a masterclass right now in the energy of that Leo Moon Chiron conjunction, because he does not, what is your moon? It is like yourself. Like, it is your inner self. What is Leo? It's like your pride. Like, Leo is pride. Leo is fun. Leo is like, I want this. I'm wearing a tutu and a helmet. Like, I'm performative. He doesn't trust himself. He has no sense of intuition guiding him. He's like trying to figure too much out. Like, there's a lot of figuring out going on. And it's like, Clayton, it's a feel thing.
Yeah. Like, what? And then, and now you've kind of like put the poo-poo on your relationship with Genevieve by like believing Shanae and accusing her of something. Like, is she going to be able to trust you? And Sarah, it seems like, is going to be able to bounce back from this. It wasn't as harsh, but it still was like, he didn't come at it as like, listen, I really like you and I didn't believe this, but I do have to address it just for my own sanity.
He's not doing any like reassuring, like, right.
He's not thinking long-term.
He's not thinking long-term. And I do think that in my experience of not being married yet, this is the thing that men do, which is when they bring problems to the table, what they think of as being just like flat, direct, to the point. It's like, go take a leadership class. One thing, as a kid, it's like, start with the compliment, then give the feedback. It's like, after they have this whole date, what do they do on the date again?
What do they do? I don't know. What do they do?
This is a kind of boring date, I guess. I really do not. I have no memory of it. That's so weird.
I feel like they didn't do much because it kept seeming like it was nighttime again.
Wait,
like,
I feel so like like, what's wrong with us? I literally, hold on, let me just see. Sarah Bachelor, real quick. I know you have to go. Sarah Bachelor date. What did they do? Wait, this is insane. I have no recollection at all.
I feel like if we look up her Instagram, she'll probably have like a photo of it or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. Here we go. Wait. You'd look there. I'm going to Google this because this is insane that we both, two Gemini minds, two great Gemini minds on the case, watched the show, two podcasts about it, and we have absolutely no recollection of what they did last night. Okay, well, I guess the only thing they did was, like, he confronted her about being not ready for marriage, and then she wept. And I think that's my only memory of it.
Right, like, and he doesn't have any pics on his Instagram, and I don't know how to find hers.
Okay, if you guys have hooked up with Teddy and or remember what happened in the episode last night, throw it in the comments. We'll sing it in the tune of Les Mis because we do not remember. Or just like, okay, so, but the bottom line is I have an answer astrologically to all the waterworks.
Okay.
I forgot, but now I remember because I have their charts up. Sarah and Clayton, number one, have very similar charts in certain ways, but just to start with her for a minute and her emotionality, she has her Mercury, her Venus, her Saturn, her Pluto, but most importantly, the ones that we care about here are her Mercury and her Venus in Aries.
Mm.
So, and then her Moon is in Sag, so she's just like got a lot of passion. She's got a lot of fire.
Yeah.
She's gonna just express her fucking feelings. And Clayton also has a Venus and Mercury in Aries. So that's why he's an idiot at how to phrase stuff. Huh. Aries Mercuries are tough because they just kind of blurt shit out. His North Node is almost exactly conjunct her Moon. So even if they don't end up together, part of her purpose here is actually to, I think, stand up. I think she's here for him to stand up for. Like her Moon, her soul brings him into his North Node in Sagittarius purpose, which is healing his Chiron wound, to go, wait a second, I do know the truth with a capital T, Shana.
Yeah, and now I'm gonna use it on my platform all the time. Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have one final contestant.
Yeah, Suzaroo. So Susie.
Snooze.
Snoozy Susie.
Boring.
Kind of. I need more from her. Like, oh, yeah. It just feels like she's doing all the right things. Like, for the appearance. That's, I don't know why it comes across like that.
Talk about the opposite of Academy Award winning Genevieve at the top. They're going, I'm not an actor, but we know she is. You know, put her on Hairspray. She's incredible.
Yeah.
Susie's big, meet me at the clock tower if I love you. That was the least romantic, I love you. Her delivery was so bad because it was like, okay, I wanted to bring you out here because, and then she like, again, like with these pregnant pauses, I'm so nervous, I'm so nervous, I'm so nervous. She's barely looking him in the eye. And she basically says it like as if she's saying, like, what would be, you know, like, what's the word in Harry Potter? Vigor mortis, right? And they're just like trying it out for the first time. Rigor mortis or whatever. It's like, she was like, I'm going to finally say it. I love you. I love you.
Yeah, I like, know. I'm falling in love with you.
She said, but like, if we could get a clip up, it's like, that is where when we see the clips of Rachel and Clayton, even though we haven't seen any of their anything because the show has all been about Shanae and the pasta sauce so far. But when we see the interactions between Rachel and Clayton, there is a real chemistry there that even the cameras can't ignore. So yeah, give me her delivery. Casey and I just listened to that whole god-awful segment where for 3 minutes, Susie doesn't say I love you, only to eventually say, I just wanted to tell you that over the past few weeks, things have really changed for me. Oh, yeah, like I met you. That's what's changed for me over the last few weeks. But okay. You know, and I'm like happy for you, like meeting all these girls. But I just want to say, I want to be the very first to say it because I literally otherwise am feeling totally insecure and I have nothing going on. I love you. And then he's like, oh, and he's like, and then he says something that absolutely smashed my heart on her behalf, which she'll watch back afterwards and go, ah, and I'll tell you why in her chart. But he says, well, oh, Susie, I had no idea what she was going to do. She caught me off guard. What do you think she was going to do? You have a good thing going. What do you think she was going to do? Okay. But I had no idea what she was going to do. My heart was beating so fast. And if I ever needed validation, I am proof. Susie and the Watchtower are proof that there is validation that this process works. Boo. Wow. The air is sucked out of the balloon. validation. Her saying I love you first and her being a woman that you could see yourself marrying in terms of just type of person makes you feel confident because you've had so many fucking just knocking down L's left and right, even when you're giving him the roses, right? He was so happy that somebody liked him more. That also wasn't completely fucking crazy.
And that's scary because it's like, okay, so do you like her back or do you like the validation? Like
validation,
what?
I think. Yeah. He said, wow, I feel incredible. I feel validation that Susie feels the same way I do.
Yes.
Would have been a more powerful statement. Yeah. What he means is like, we got a few wives in the running, which like isn't actually the way we want them to feel towards the end or towards mid-season.
Right, exactly.
You
want to
be competing on the personal level. It's the name on the back, not the team.
Can we hope that maybe this will help his little Leo Chiron a little bit?
He was so happy.
I know, he was so happy. And it looks like in another clip with her, he like shouts out of elation and happiness too, which is like just a shocker because he just doesn't show that much emotion most of the time. And then it seems like Susie brings this like real maniac happiness out of him, which is great, but I just it doesn't like, what do they have in common? What is their connection? That's okay. The like,
you ready for this? I'll tell you what their connection is. He is a moon Chiron in Leo. She is a sun Chiron in Leo.
What?
And her moon is in Virgo, which means that it's in a very harmonious relationship with his sun. So she actually is coming in as that service oriented Virgo moon to go, I'll make you feel safe. But what it's doing is at the sacrifice of herself, her solar ego. She is saving and healing his Chiron moon by sacrificing herself. It is such a Virgo moon thing to do, to be the sacrificial lamb. Virgo moon's process is like, you know what? If I were Clayton and I had all these crazy women around me and nothing fun and exciting, I'm going to be the one that goes out of the way and pursues him, not like Cassidy, not like Shana, but like a normal person, and do something romantic. And I'll be the one to say it first because I know how weird this process is, this journey. But I also know that my hair looks incredible every single day. So this will be that third thing that like I don't know if I'm going to win, but at the very least, I'm... You know, it's almost like what at the end of last season, what Brandon was trying to do, being like, if you pick me second, that's okay, is the vibe I get from it. Like, I'm here for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to, like, stroke your ego and, like, and then I'll look good
and
on
TV. And I'll feel validated by it, too. Like, I'll stroke your ego. And then it's like when you say, like, love you, just so someone says love you back.
Yeah. And then the other thing, the last thing I'll say about Susie, too, we all know she's a Hannah Brown lookalike. And earlier in the episode, she was like, the savage is going to come out. I'm such a savage. Like, I'm a beast. I'm a savage. Well, Hannah Brown's whole thing was like being the beast. Like, she would be like, I'm like Hannah Beast.
Oh, no.
Unleash the beast. I'm like, girl, like, what are you just taking Hannah Brown's blueprint? And like,
I mean, she might be like Sun Chiron in Leo opposite her Saturn. Like, she actually is not sure how to act. Like, she doesn't know what personality to put on to make the group like her, or for her to stand out in the group. Like, I think based on her chart, I think Susie's like heartbreak in her life so far, and until she really just finds that person, which we all will, it might not be on the beach on The Bachelor, but it might just be, you know, the supermarket, who fucking knows. But it's like she is just trying to I don't even know what I was gonna say. LOL, what was I about to say? Fuck. What was the sentence? What was I about to...
She doesn't know how to act.
Right. Sun Chiron in Leo. Leo is like, me, I'm performing. This is my act. Look at my tap dance. Saturn in Aquarius, especially, where Saturn is in Aquarius now. She's having her Saturn return. Clayton's having his Saturn return. Both of their moons are in opposition. His moon and her sun and both of their Chirons are in opposition to this Saturn and their Saturn. So this whole thing is about both of them learning how to differentiate themselves from the crowd, even though kind of being socially distanced is sort of a part of like being a part of the crowd, but figuring out how to stand out. Him on an internal level, he feels personally insecure about who he is in the group, and that's why she's doing so much with her hair, because she's like, look, at the very least, I'm gonna have good hair. I've been Leo's have the best hair,
they really do,
and that's the only thing that she knows about herself. And that because she is a Leo sun, she's like, fuck it, I'm saying it. And she also is a Mercury in Leo, and her Mercury is exactly on his Chiron. So I do think there's an element where, like, she got the sense that he was feeling insecure, and then she was like, I'll do it. I'll be the one that says I love you first. I'll be the one with the good hair. I'll act like Hannah Brown. I just want to figure out which character I am so that I actually can be validated as one of the picks. Am I a pick?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, she's so sick of being treated like the medic.
Yeah, totally.
She's just the manager of the sports team. She's not even a player.
Poor Suze. Snoozy Susie. Okay, well, we'll see how Suze goes. I mean, I think we've seen just the beginning.
Sorry, Snooze, you're going to lose. And I don't even think she's going to get on the beach. I don't think she is that dynamic of a character.
But the hair.
Maybe she will be by the end of this when she heals her Leo. When she heals her Leo Chiron son, perhaps we will see a fucking fabulously expressive. When she starts singing her confessionals, like our reviewsicles, confessionicles.
Yeah.
That's when Susie's going to start to come alive.
Absolutely. And to that, I will also say we would love some reviews that are specifically about the Trashler pod.
If you do want a reading of your own personal chart, because you're listening to the Bachelor episode or you're on Casey Stories, you can use code Casey 50% off your first reading. I got you. Friends, Casey.
Where would they go? SarahArmor.com?
SarahArmor.com/booking. Or you can go to the link in bio at Sarah Armor.
Really okay. Cool.
And it's just discount code Casey. We know her. We love her. She's the co-host of the Trash Wing, right? So very, very important. Or the Trash Allure Wing. Oh, my apologies. She's the co-host of the Trash Allure Wing.
That's
Trashler
right.
Nation. She's our Trash Allure Nation correspondent is what she
fucking yes, yes, yes.
Okay. And we have a Moonule coming up on Wednesday.
Yes.
It's going to be, you know, again, this is a Leo full moon. We have no fire in the sky. This is the chance that we have all been waiting for to sit around the campfire and fucking sing our heart songs out with each other on the Zoom.
What a perfect ending. We were just talking, Leo. Tonight. Wait, I don't know when this is coming out. Wednesday.
We got to get Clayton and Snooze at the Zoom Moonule because it's actually going to be deeply healing for both of them.
Shoot.
I'll tag them.
Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.